Chapter 7. The All in All. While all is in the All, it is equally true that the All is in all. To him who truly understands this truth hath come great knowledge. The Kabbalion. How often have the majority of people heard repeated the statement that their deity, called by many names, was all in all? And how little have they suspected the inner occult truth concealed by these carelessly uttered words? The commonly used expression is a survival of the ancient Hermetic maxim quoted above. As the Kabbalion says, "To him who truly understands this truth hath come great knowledge." And this being so, let us seek this truth, the understanding of which means so much. In this statement of truth, this Hermetic maxim, is concealed one of the greatest philosophical, scientific, and religious truths. We have given you the Hermetic teaching regarding the mental nature of the universe, the truth that the universe is mental, held in the mind of the All. As the Kabbalion says in the passage quoted above, all is in the All. But note also the correlated statement that it is equally true that the All is in all. This apparently contradictory statement is reconcilable under the law of paradox. It is, moreover, an exact Hermetic statement of the relations existing between the All and its mental universe. We have seen how all is in the All. Now let us examine the other aspect of the subject. The Hermetic teachings are to the effect that the All is immanent in remaining within, inherent, abiding within its universe, and in every part, particle, unit, or combination within the universe. This statement is usually illustrated by the teachers by a reference to the principle of correspondence. The teacher instructs the student to form a mental image of something, a person, an idea, something having a mental form. The favorite example being that of the author or dramatist forming an idea of his characters, or a painter or sculptor forming an image of an ideal that he wishes to express by his art. In each case, the student will find that while the image has its existence and being solely within his own mind, yet he, the student, author, dramatist, painter, or sculptor, is in a sense immanent in, remaining within, or abiding within the mental image also. In other words, the entire virtue, life, spirit of reality in the mental image is derived from the immanent mind of the thinker. Consider this for a moment until the idea is grasped. To take a modern example, let us say that Othello, Iago, Hamlet, Lear, Richard III existed merely in the mind of Shakespeare at the time of their conception or creation. And yet Shakespeare also existed within each of these characters, giving them their vitality, spirit, and action. Whose is the spirit of the characters that we know as Micawber, Oliver Twist, Uriah Heep? Is it Dickens? Or have each of these characters a personal spirit, independent of their creator? Have the Venus of Medici, the Sistine Madonna, the Apollo Belvedere, spirits and realities of their own? Or do they represent the spiritual and mental power of their creators? The law of paradox explains that both propositions are true, viewed from the proper viewpoints. Micawber is both Micawber and yet Dickens. And again, while Micawber may be said to be Dickens, yet Dickens is not identical with Micawber. Man, like Micawber, may exclaim, "The spirit of my creator is inherent within me, and yet I am not he." How different this from the shocking half-truth so vociferously announced by certain of the half-wise, who fill the air with their raucous cries of, "I am God." Imagine poor Micawber or sneaky Uriah Heep saying, "I am Dickens," or some of the lowly clods in one of Shakespeare's plays eloquently announcing that, "I am Shakespeare." The All is in the earthworm, and yet the earthworm is far from being the All. And still the wonder remains that though the earthworm exists merely as a lowly thing, created and having its being solely within the mind of the All, yet the All is eminent in the earthworm and in the particles that go to make up the earthworm. Can there be any greater mystery than this of the All in the All and the All in All? The student will, of course, realize that the illustrations given above are necessarily imperfect and inadequate, for they represent the creation of mental images in finite minds, while the universe is a creation of infinite mind, and the difference between the two poles separates them. And yet, is it merely a matter of degree, the same principle is in operation, the principle of correspondence manifest in each? As above, so below. As below, so above. And in the degree that man realizes the existence of the indwelling spirit eminent within his being, so will he rise in the spiritual scale of life. This is what spiritual development means, the recognition, realization, and manifestation of the spirit within us. Try to remember this last definition, that of spiritual development. It contains the truth of true religion. There are many planes of being, many subplanes of life, many degrees of existence in the universe, and all depend upon the advancement of beings in the scale, of which scale the lowest point is the grossest matter, the highest being separated only by the thinnest division from the spirit of the All. And upward and onward along this scale of life, everything is moving. All are on the path whose end is the All. All progress is a returning home. All is upward and onward, in spite of all seemingly contradictory appearances. Such is the message of the Illumed. The Hermetic teachings concerning the process of the mental creation of the universe are that at the beginning of the creative cycle, the All, in its aspect of being, projects its will toward its aspect of becoming, and the process of creation begins. It is taught that the process consists of the lowering of vibration until a very low degree of vibratory energy is reached, at which point the grossest possible form of matter is manifested. This process is called the stage of involution, in which the All becomes involved or wrapped up in its creation. This process is believed by the Hermetist to have a correspondence to the mental process of an artist, writer or inventor, who becomes so wrapped up in his mental creation as to almost forget his own existence, and who, for the time being, almost lives in his creation. If instead of wrapped, we use the word wrap, perhaps we will give a better idea of what is meant. This involuntary stage of creation is sometimes called the outpouring of the divine energy, just as the evolutionary state is called the indrawing. The extreme pole of the creative process is considered to be the furthest removed from the All, while the beginning of the evolutionary stage is regarded as the beginning of the return swing of the pendulum of rhythm, a coming home idea being held in all of the Hermetic teachings.